let there be regeneration. Lord, let your word in the power of the Spirit do what only you can do this morning, I pray. I just pray that I will reduce so that you would increase. Fill my tongue with your power by your Spirit. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Our God is good all the time. All the time. The God that we talk about in this church, if you have never experienced him, if you do not know him, I want to introduce him in another way to you. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the anointing of the Spirit. It is this same God that gives us his Spirit to live by. And he has asked me to testify as his witness wherever I go. And that is all I can do. All I can do. Nothing more. I can only testify of God's goodness and his works in my own life. And hope that somehow you may also come to the knowledge of that God and hold on to him. 2 weeks ago, we were talking about the three Hebrew boys in the book of Daniel and the experiences that they had in the land of Babylon. The four Hebrew boys. Those boys, they came to the land of Babylon by captivity through Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, having ransacked their land, Jerusalem, Judea, and brought them over to his land. He brought the cream of the crop. You know, it's very, very similar to what America is doing today. But they're not ransacking. They're just inviting and taking the cream of the crop everywhere. Today, I want to take a look at a topic very similar to what we talked about, the anointing, which is how the Holy Spirit works, how God works in our lives as Christians. And it's something that many of us, you know, have already experienced before, but I hope that the Lord will show it in a different light for all, each and every one of us to have something to hold on to by faith in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Judges. Judges. Please, can Mr. Liu, do you have a Bible? Okay. Can somebody give him a Bible and open to Judges? We have so many here. Anybody else doesn't have a Bible? Anybody needs a Bible? Okay. Judges 7. Judges 7. Okay. I'd love to make it interactive today. So Sister Lande will help me today. I know you are like, don't pick me. Sorry? I will still see you. In New Covenant Church, if you sit under the rock, I will see you. Okay, Sister Lande, please help me take it from verse 1 to 8. What version do you have? I want a simple version.
I have an easy version.
Easy version. That's exactly what I need. Yeah.
Ezra continued to pray in front of God's temple.
No, Judges 7. Judges 7.
Judges 7:1. Yes. Gideon and his men were in the tents near Harod, where water came out of the ground. It was early in the morning. The Midianite army was in in tents north of the Israelite army. They were in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord told Gideon, "You have too many men. I do not want Israel to say that they won the fight. They must not think that they are strong. I cannot use all your army." Verse 3.
Please, can you start again? I want everybody to hear this very well.
Gideon and his men were in the tents near Harod, where water came up out of the ground. It was early in the morning. The Midianite army was in the tent north of the Israelite army. They were in the valley near the hill of Moreh. The Lord told Gideon, "You have too many men. I do not want Israel to say that they won the fight. They must not think that they are strong. I cannot use all your army." Verse 3. "Tell the men that they may go back if they are afraid. They may leave Mount Gilead." So 22,000 men left, but 10,000 remained. Verse 4. The Lord said to Gideon, "There's still too many men. Take them to the water to drink. I will choose them for you. If I say that one should go with you, then take him. If I say that one should not go with you, then do not take him." Verse 5. So Gideon took the men to the water. The Lord said, "Put the men who stand and drink from their hands here, and put the men who go on their knees to drink there." Verse 6. 300 men stood and drank with their hands. The other soldiers all went on their knees. The Lord said to Gideon, "I will use the 300 men to save you. I will use them to give you power over the Midianites. Let all other men return to their tents." Verse 8.
Said,
Gideon took the food and trumpets from his
men. Take it to the end, please.
Then he sent them to their tents. He gave the trumpets and food to the 300 men. The tents of the Midian were in the valley below Gideon. That night, the Lord said to Gideon, "Get up, go down to the tents of the Midianites. I'm going to give them to you. You will win the fight." Verse 10. "Perhaps you're afraid to fight. Then go down to their tents. Take their Pura, your servants, with you. Listen to what the Midianites are saying. You will hear something to make you strong to fight." So Gideon and Pura went near the edge of the camp. Verse 12. The valley was full of Midianites and the other tribes. Put the 300 men into three groups. He gave each man a trumpet and an empty pot. Into the pot, each man put a burning branch. "Watch me," he said. "Follow me. When we get near to their tents, do as I do. You'll be all round their tents. I and my men will blow our trumpets. Then you must blow yours. Shout for the Lord and for Gideon." They reached the Midianite tent in the middle of the night. A new group of Midianite guards had just started to watch for the Israelites. Gideon's men blew their trumpets and broke their pots. All three groups of Israelites blew their trumpets and broke their pots. They took their burning branches and their trumpet. Then they shouted, "Fight for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood still. They were all around the camp. Then all the Midianites ran away and they were screaming. When Gideon's men blew the 300 trumpets, it confused the Midianites. The Lord made them turn and fight each other. Their army ran to Beth Shittah. This was towards Zererah. They ran as far as Abel Meholah near Tabath. Gideon called Israelite men from the Naphtali, Asher, and all Manasseh to run after the Midianites. He sent men into hills of Ephraim. He told them not to let the Midianites cross the river Jordan. He said, "Hold it as far as Beth Bara." So all the men of Ephraim kept their enemies away from the waters of the river Jordan as far as Beth Bara. They caught two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeb. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb. They killed Zeb at the wine press of Zeb. A wine press is a very big basket to make wine from grapes. They ran after the Midianites and took the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon. Gideon was by the river Jordan.
Thank you very much, Sister Glandy. So this is a story that some of us might know very well. Yes, DJ. Yeah.
At the tents to kill them. So like one of the armies killed them at the wine press, and that was named the same name as the commander.
As the what?
As the commander.
As the commander. Okay. Good observation. Very good observation. Okay. So some of us know this story, some of us might not know the story. What happened? This was Gideon was a general in God's army over the Israelites. And they had come across their enemies. These were, you know, biblical times. They had come across their enemies and they had their own army. Now, the enemies that they came across were the Midianites, the Amalekites. And I think in what verse was it? In verse 12. Please, can you read verse 12 one more time? Just to know the size of the army of the enemy they were facing. Okay. It says they had as many camel as were what? Bits of sand by the sea. Does that give you a picture? Here in my Bible, it said that the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. Like grasshoppers for multitude. Not by size, for multitude. How many they were. Many of you city children, have you ever, you've not seen grasshoppers in multitudes before, have you? No. If you want to know what it's like, just Google locust infestation. When you get home, Google it and see what it is like. It's like a swarm. That is what the army they were facing. That was what it was like. And Israel had its own army. But God told Gideon something really strange. That the army you are facing your enemies with were too many. And I will bet you to start with that the Amalekite army was way larger than the Israelite army. And God still said that their army was too large. And then a very strange thing God told them to do, told Gideon to do. Take your army. First of all, tell them if there's anyone who is afraid, let him go home. That first of all, we told down the army. Then God said, they are still too many. Because if you guys win the battle, though you are small, you will think that it's in your power that you did it. Take the army to the river. And there were two classes. You know, there's always some theologians who have one thing or the other. There are many things I've learned about this, which on second reading myself, when I now read it, and looked at it, I said, wow, there are some things I took away that were erroneous in my understanding. Let me tell you what it was. God told Gideon, separate the army into two classes. One class, those that went on their knees to drink, and the second class, those that lapped the water like a dog. Those that went on their knees to drink and those that lapped the water like a dog. When I was a young Christian, you know, all these Jim brothers and sisters and preachers, they used to say, well, God divided them into two because those who lapped like a dog, they will cup, you know, the water in their hands and they'll be lapping so that they'll be vigilant. They'll be able to see what is coming. And those who went on their knees to drink, you know, they couldn't see anything. So those ones are not vigilant. So Gideon took the vigilant ones. Why will God say you should reduce your army and then pick those who can fight? What God is trying to show them was that I'm going to defeat the army that is against you with those who are the weakest, without your numbers. And so there was nothing to do about being... The Bible didn't say anything about vigilance, you know. We're the ones who tried to infuse that into it. God was trying to show Gideon that I will fight this army on my own terms, not on your terms. And the times with which I will fight your enemies are, you will see that I'm using the weakest thing within you to display my own power. And so the two classes were those, whether they were kneeling down or cupping their hands. You know, there is a strange way to drink water. I've never drank water like that, where you lap water like you don't. That was the first class. The second class, anybody who knelt down to drink. That was all. And God separated 300 people out of them. And those 300, God used in another strange fashion, putting a torch in a bushel. Why will soldiers be afraid of a torch in a bushel? But God has his own ways. I told you that, look, I am only a witness of what God has done in my life, what I have seen God do in other people's lives. Yesterday, my wife and I, we met with a cousin of ours that was celebrating her birthday, and you know, we gave her a surprise at a Thai restaurant. And taking her home, we were discussing. She's a, how do you call them? Commissioner in Lagos State. Is it commissioner? One of the offices. And so she was telling me something, you know, beautiful, lovely Christian lady. She was telling me how she got the job. And she was saying that she used to be the chair of one of the HR organizations in Lagos State. And so they were asked, because the governor was also in that association, they went to give the governor a presentation on something they had done. And so the governor, you know, liked it and didn't say anything, you know, just asked a few questions about the presentation. And that was it. You know, she went home. And she said about 3 weeks later, she got a call. And the person says said that this is Jide Sanwo-Olu, you know, asking. And she said, Jide Sanwo-Olu, the governor of Lagos State, said, yes, this is the governor of Lagos State. You know how you think it's a prank? How can the governor be calling me? What is that? You know, and ask a few other questions, you know, just to get to know what it was. Just said about two or three questions. And a few more weeks later, she got a call from the governor's office. Sorry, it wasn't from the governor's office. She got a call from a friend that they saw her name as one of the people who have been chosen as the commissioners of Lagos State, the new commissioners that the governor had chosen. They didn't call her yet to let her know. It was somebody who saw her name that was telling her that they had chosen her. Now, what was interesting that she told me was that there was another man who she knew who was vying for a position as a commissioner also. And this man had been fasting for 30 days, no food, praying and fasting that he will get something. And he did not, do you know, did he get something? He did not get anything. And so the man was like, who did you know? Because normally you will know somebody that knows somebody that knows somebody for you to be able to get such a position. But she did not know Jack. The only thing she did was to go and give a presentation. And from there, and she said that when, you know, they began to form, you know, the cabinet and they invited them all in, you know, she just kept on hearing, oh, you are the person, oh, You are the person, because every other person knew somebody that knew somebody, but she was a total stranger. Nothing in politics, didn't know anybody, and she was chosen for the job. That was God. That was God. And what she's been doing in the place, another thing she said that, you know, when she started, that, you know, she'll give contracts out, people will do it, and they'll come back to want to give her something. And she said, you've done a good job, that's it. I'm not. And, you know, they thought that, oh, they didn't give enough, so they'll come back again with more to try to give her. She said, no, I'm not like that. You've done your job. You did a good job. That is it. And so because she was a little strange in that way, because normally people who will come there receiving something wasn't anything. Because she said no, people took her for an enemy. She faced opposition. But the person who had sent her there didn't just leave her there. I told you that is God. That is God. The person who sent her there did not leave her there, because the God who sent her there backed her. Because he said that, you know, the person who was directly under her was a permanent secretary. That's the, you know, the cadre of how they have their hierarchies. And that permanent secretary said, undermined her, undercut her, did so many things. And then one day, that permanent secretary fell ill and began to say, ah, madam, you are the cause of my illness. What do I know? I didn't do anything. And she now wanted to, you know, out of her good heart, she said she wanted to go and greet him that, you're my staff, you are ill. And they didn't allow her. You know, that African thing that you're already in the course of my illness, you want to come and see me. And she said, how God did it that the man who was her, being the Judas in her, how God now removed him entirely, she still doesn't know. Because the man left that office entirely, eventually. You know, that is the way our God fights for us. Because we might think that, look, I have the wisdom. I have the power. You know, I have everything to do it. But God will show us that it is me. Sometimes you will face opposition in which you won't know which way to turn. But God will let you know that me, the God you serve, the God who has brought you here, I will not leave you. I will back you. In the book of Zechariah, can somebody open Zechariah 4:6, please? Will Reverend Kemi please read for us? Four, six.
So he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts.
Not by might, not by power. Sister Landy, not by might, nor by power. Sister Shade, not by might, nor by power. John, not by might, nor by power. And God has just shown us in this story, it is not by might, it is not by power. What is might? I wrote something here. The word for might is often translated army, force, ability, efficiency, and is associated with human resources. Everything you have, you know, sometimes it is you knowing somebody that knows somebody, you having an uncle or a father or a daddy or a mummy that knows somebody somewhere. And God is saying, it is not by might. It's not by who you know. You might have, in my own language, they say that Dada might not be able to fight, but Dada has a brother that can fight. So it is not by your brother that is strong, that can fight for you. Says not by might. It also relates to financial means and can be connected with wealth. The term power implies purposeful force, firm resolve, dynamic strength, and resoluteness. So no, it's not by you making that I can do it. You know how they'll tell you, say to yourself, you can do it. Build yourself, you can do it. You can, I can, say I can, I can, say I will. It's not by that. It is not by that, not by power, not by might, not by the money you have in the bank. It says, but by my what? My spirit, says the Lord. But by my spirit, says the Lord. Our sister Kike here, there were times we were here praying when she faced opposition at her job workplace. I will never forget. I can never forget. It is here that Sister Kike made that woman. You know, on our knees. Christians are the ones who, you know, I don't know what they say, you go and, It's on your knees you fight. Not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. I have been a witness also many times to God showing, you know, that there'll be times you feel that, I've gone to university now. I have the knowledge, I can do it. And God will show you that, yeah, but a small boy now. You try it, you knock your head and knock your head and knock your head. And after that, nothing happens. You now say, God, please help me. I surrender. You are not strangers to, you know, my own story of work. You know, there was a time I was out of work and I prayed. 1 year, money finish, no work. Continue praying. You know, I would love to tell you as a pastor that I never stopped praying. Yeah. But there was a time I was tired. When nothing came, you know, you get to that point where you say, God, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't happen, it's when you get to that point now, God will now show that, okay, you've tried. Now, see my way. It's my turn. And I prayed. Job wasn't coming. Interview here, interview there. You know, my wife said, have you sent your resume to this? I said, darling, I've sent my resume. But when it was God's turn to do it, I remember the first time that happened. And like I told you, it's happened multiple times. Brother Tunde Ademiju in the choir, she said, Brother Bumi, they're looking for a software developer in my job place. Please send me your resume. You know, when you've done it so often and you've given up, you are like, okay, look, I've done this thing so many, you know, I didn't send anything. Tunde called me again. Brother Bumi, please just send me your resume. Don't do it. Just send it to me. Don't send it. And eventually I sent it. They called me for interview. Me that I've been going for interview. I went for interview. Before I got home that same day, the person, the recruiter was calling me. He said, did you like the interview and everything? I said, well, and I remember my words very, very well to this day. I said, it wasn't one of my best interviews because there were some questions they were asking me I did not know about. And the guy, next thing the guy says is, they want you. They want you. You know what blew my mind again? He said, how much would you like? I said, Me that haven't been working for nearly 2 years. I said, the money I was making before at my former place, if I get that, it will be fine. It'll be fine. He said, no, that is too small. Ask for, I think it was about 30% more that he said that you ask for. I've never experienced it before where I go to a workplace, I say, this is how much I want, and they're asking me to ask for more. You see, the God we serve, when you hold on to him, you know that what people say that God helps those who help themselves is a lie. Is a lie. God helps those who cannot help themselves. God helps those who are surrendered to him alone. God helps those who have no other option but God. But God. So what am I saying here? We come to places in life where we have butted our heads so long with something that we might think that where will help come from? Where would help come from? I have tried this so much, nothing is budging. I have prayed, nothing is happening. Sometimes, try surrender. It is not about praying any longer. It's just about surrendering and just saying, Lord, I'll just praise you. Because if it happens, then I'll know it's you. Because if it's going to be, I have tried everything I can try. There's no other option but you. Help me. Help me. When we come to that place, many times God will step in and do that which he is able to do. And you know, many years ago, I remember when I used to tell people that when God does it, you know, when you open your mouth, you close it yourself. When God does something, you say, ha, and then God will help you close your mouth back, because it will be amazing. It will be amazing. That's the kind of God we serve. But for you to experience God in that way, you have to come to know him as Father. You have to come to know him as your Father. Many times he stands at the door, knocking at your heart. I want to come in. Will you allow me in? It's up to you to say, God, I want to be your child. I want to be your son. I want to be your daughter. Come into my heart. Save me. Help me. Because many times we don't have the answers, but he does. Many times we don't have the resources. We don't have the connections, but he does. We don't have the power. We don't have the army, but he does. He does. And I leave you with this. It is not by power. It is not by might. God says it's by my spirit. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, your word has gone forth, and I pray that what only you can do within every heart, that you will do. Plant it deep. If this be the day of harvest, make it so. Our prayer is that you will bring in a harvest of souls for the glory of your name. That song that says, little drops of water, little grains of sand, make a mighty ocean and a beauteous land. If today it's to add upon what has been added, drop by drop, your word goes forth until fills the hearts and brings in the harvest. Let that be so, Lord. Our prayer is that you will have your way in every heart in your church, my God, that your name will be glorified. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. All right. We are all done for him today. Let's sing this.